Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Have you ever stared at the night sky? Looking at the stars and the moon? Considering for a moment the vastness of the universe which God has created and placed us right smack dab in the middle of? And thought, what if in the classic question, we are not alone? What if in the motto of a very recent hit TV series, the truth is out there? Now, there's nothing wrong with the question. I think it's a natural question. Once we gain a proper perspective of where our planet sits in the universe and we as humankind occupy such a small space, people have argued if God were to make the whole universe and only put intelligent, morally responsible life here on Earth, didn't he waste a lot of space? Those are the kind of questions people ask. Sometimes their answers involve UFOs and extraterrestrials. That's what we're talking about during this hour with Ken Samples. Ken Samples is Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's founder and president of the Augustine Fellowship Study Center and co-author of the new book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. You can join us as we talk with Ken. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You're probably getting a busy signal if you're trying right now. If you're getting one, keep trying, because in just a few minutes we'll be freeing up those phone lines. We also have that in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The best callers and emailers during this hour will receive a copy of Ken Samples' new book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. Ken Samples, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Ken, let's recap a bit, if we could, before we go to those phone calls. What is the danger for the Christian who dabbles with a belief in UFOs or extraterrestrials?
Well, UFOs are no longer just unusual sightings in the sky. It has now become really UFO phenomena with all kinds of deep-seated religious views. And UFO belief systems involve a deep commitment to occult belief and practice. And so Christians who would dabble or become involved in this kind of thing are really involving themselves in things that are expressly forbidden in Scripture. Deuteronomy 18, for example, clearly condemns the practice of spiritism, of mediumship, and right at the heart of UFO religion is the belief in channeling, that so-called human envoys are channeling alien intelligences. And if we were to go even further than that, the basic views about humanity and about this world and our origin and destiny, the beliefs of UFO groups are counter to the historic Christian views. And quite frankly, UFO belief systems are very anti-Christian and deny that Christ is the only Savior, deny that he was God in human flesh, and deny that historic Christianity is the one exclusively true faith.
Let's go to the phones. Chris has been waiting in Colorado Springs. Chris, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
What's up, Chris?
Well, I just had a question about Roswell. I mean, what happened there if there's no aliens?
All right. Thank you very much, Chris. He mentions Roswell. Give us a rundown, if you would, Ken, of the controversy and the story that surrounds that town in, I believe, in New Mexico, and
right,
along with it, Area 51.
That's right. Right after World War II, in Roswell, New Mexico, there is, of course, a military base there. And in the late 1940s, it was reported that something fell out of the sky. And there were a number of people involved in trying to retrieve whatever it was. and stories came forth about the possibility of maybe a UFO crashing there, and whether the government knew about this or what it was. I think it's very important for us to realize that stories have changed over the years since Roswell in the late 40s. Many of the people who were allegedly involved have either passed away or memories have faded. I think the best explanation of what took place in Roswell was that they were experimenting with some advanced technology in terms of balloon technology. Somebody saw one of these balloons come down, and there was debris that was left there. Not all of the reports from the military jive together, but that's not really because they were hiding something. It was simply because, in terms of the military, not everybody has access to all of the information. I think many of these stories became overblown, and I think they were embellished and exaggerated, and I think we end up with the myth of Roswell. And thus, I don't think anything extraterrestrial happened at Roswell, New Mexico. Area 51, on the other hand, it's about 100 miles north of Las Vegas. It is a very, very large base, military base in Groom Lake, about the size almost virtually of Connecticut. That's how large it is. Many of our advanced aircraft have been developed there and test flown. Some of the U-2 in the early 60s, the SR-71 Blackbird, and some of the stealth aircraft has been tested there. There have been reports about unusual things there. But, Todd, to simply put it as clear as I can, I don't think the federal government, I don't think the government of the United States is involved in covering up truths about UFO. I think the government is involved in trying to protect our national security. And after the events of 9/11, we realized that there are a lot of people who mean us harm. And so if the government is not forthcoming about things that relate to the military, it's very clear why. They have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, to protect our national security. And so the government is not always forthcoming. But that conspiracy is not to hide UFOs. It's to keep our country from being infiltrated by people who'd like to steal our technology.
Kenya is calling from New Jersey. Thank you for being patient, Kenya, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thank you. I'm actually a first-time caller, and I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago. I wish I was able to hear the entire program. Hopefully I'll get a tape. But I wanted to just let you know that I appreciate this conversation, this discussion, and the seriousness with which it's being discussed. I am 33 years old, and I guess about 21 years ago, I was 12. And I don't tell this story to many people because I am a born-again Christian, and a lot of people, you know, I'm afraid that when people hear it, they're going to think that I'm crazy or something like that. So only a few people know, my husband and my parents. But I did have an experience where at 12, I was in the car with a babysitter who was, I guess, in her late 20s at the time. And I was in the back seat with her two children, and I didn't see it first. She stopped the car, and we were next to a building that was about 10 stories high. And I remember her looking out the window. I looked out the window, and it was a UFO. I mean, no confusion about if whether or not it was an airplane or not. It was only, the building was about 10 stories, and I would say the UFO was maybe about four more stories above that. It was a round disc shape, and I'll never forget, it was silver underneath the larger disc. It was like a smaller disc that kind of turned in the opposite direction, and it had lights all around the edge of the disc, all around, and it was very, very quiet. There was no sound at all for it to be that close. I mean, you know, you would expect to hear something. We sat there, I guess, for maybe a few minutes, and then it starts slowly moving away from us. She took us back to her house, told her husband. He suggested that we call the nearest airport. She called to find out if there were any, you know, testings or anything going on. They said no. They said that her call was not the first that they received that night, with the same, giving the same description, and to look in the local newspaper the next day. I was young at the time, so of course I didn't think to look in the newspaper. But the interesting thing is, at the time I was not a Christian. I didn't become a Christian until the year after. I accepted Christ at 13, and for years I just have not been able to reconcile what happened. And recently, within the last couple of years, I just concluded that possibly, I do believe that it was some kind of satanic presence or activity behind that. And I do believe to this day that it was probably with the intent, you know, to distract or confuse me, I guess possibly to some degree, to possibly distract me from the truth, which I praise God that I accepted a year later. But I was just wondering what you thought of that. I don't know. There's no other explanation for it. I mean, I've never, not then, nor have I ever in my life dabbled in the occult. I, you know, have never had anything to do with that.
Kenya, we're going to take a break here, and I'm going to let you go. We'll find out what Ken thinks about that experience. This is that kind of 1%. How do you explain this thing? From credible sources, people have no reason to lie. This is that 1% that we're talking about as we talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials with Ken Samples, Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe in Pasadena, California. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues, Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues, Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again, discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line. That number is 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back. We're talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials with Ken Samples. He's author of a co-author of a new book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, a rational Christian look at UFOs and extraterrestrials. Ken, before the break, Kenya was on the line. We have her on hold. Your thoughts on the experience that she recounted. It's another one of those stories.
I think for everybody who listens to Kenya, she comes across as being a very honest and straightforward person. You know, her preface, I don't often talk about this. I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm crazy. And she has straightforwardly communicated her commitment to Christ. You know, there are these occasions where very real, thoughtful people see things, they have experiences, and they speak about them. My comment would be, well, I would want to unpackage it a little bit more. I would want to know more about the size of this so-called craft. I would want to know what color, what light patterns. I'd want to know what kind of speed, what specific year this was. Was it close to a military base? Because there are some possibilities in terms of physical crafts that might explain some of the phenomena. On the other hand, it does appear to be very unusual. It doesn't sound like what we would typically think in terms of some type of hovering aircraft or of some type of helicopter. Again, people see unusual things. They have been for many centuries. Unusual experiences do take place. I'm very happy, however, that this kind of experience did not distract her or lead her down the path of UFO beliefs and religion, and I'm very happy that by God's grace she's seen the truth in Jesus Christ. And I would encourage her to take a look through our book. Again, one of the co-authors is an astronomer. Another one is an expert in the area of military technology, and to think through some of the categories that we give her and see if some of this might make sense.
Kenya, I want you to stay on hold. My producer will pick up, and he will get your mailing address so we can send you absolutely free Ken Sample's new book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, a rational Christian look at UFOs and extraterrestrials. Jim is calling from San Marcos, Texas. Jim, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Very well.
Good. I'm familiar with Reasons to Believe. And I got a letter a while back saying that it's going to have to, because of financial problems, that it's going to have to discontinue the magazine. I was wondering, how's that going, sir?
Well, we did have to discontinue our magazine. We were putting out a quarterly apologetic journal, and as I'm sure everybody knows, the magazine market is a very competitive market. So in order to try to be very prudent with our funds, and we've decided to at least temporarily let our magazine go, but we still continue to put a lot of information up on our website, and many of us are now involved in book writing. So one area of the ministry would appear to be slowing down, but other areas are picking up, and we're very thankful for people who do support Reasons to Believe.
Jim, did you have a question on the subject of UFOs?
Yes, sir, I did. I had a statement and a question. My statement is that back in probably 1975, I was 7 years old, and one night we lived in Arlington, Texas, and I saw we was in the kitchen, and it was just getting to be dusk, and this ball of fire just fell, you know, at an angle out of the sky. And
and your question, Jim?
There's more to it, if that's okay.
Yeah, just make it brief.
Okay. Anyway, we went out to where it fell, and by this time it's already dark, and it looked like three rectangular lights, like a stadium lights, off in the distance, and then it started moving towards us, and we all got in the car. It was all panicky, and then it was probably 10 feet over the car, and it illuminated around the entire car, and it made a sound, and then when we got up, it was a pretty difficult area, we got up to the highway, it just made a severe 45 angle cut right behind some trees. And I've never been able to explain that.
And you had a brief question too, Jim?
Yes, sir. What do you think about the UFO phenomenon being Nephilim?
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Jim. Another story there, Ken. Let's get to his question. He mentions this term Nephilim, which is a singular reference in the book of Genesis to a word that is often left untranslated. That's why we get the word Nephilim. At that time, there were Nephilim on the earth, talking about the earth shortly after the fall into sin.
Right. And this is a very controversial part of the book of Genesis. There's been a lot of debate as to what it actually means. There are two or three interpretive categories that exegetes and theologians typically take on this. I don't take the view. I think that there are problems with the view that these represent angels who have come to earth and taken bodies and then have had relations with human women. I know that position is popular among some people who categorize UFOs as being demonic. I think exegetically it's probably a better case that this actually represented a very strong group of people living on the earth at the time. So exegetically, I don't feel I need to bring that to bear. But again, there are two or three interpretations of it. With regard to Jim's explanation, it seems to me that part of that might be explained in terms of a meteor shower or something of that nature. Again, for a time, I lived in the desert of Southern California, in a fairly rural area, and I've seen meteors come out of the sky, and they're spectacular. I mean, it almost seems as something supernatural is taking place, but as my physicist friends will tell me, to the untrained eye in terms of our atmosphere and the universe, the ordinary can look extraordinary, and I think we have to be cautious about assuming that there's something more than something natural taking place.
There's something about these stories, and all of them evoke, for those of us, anyone who's even had kind of a passing observance of science fiction literature, but especially the movies, those kind of tend to set the framework for how we picture or perhaps even remember some of these experiences, Close Encounters of the Third Kind and other movies of the same type that, you know, are trying to make an accurate portrayal of what these experiences are like. But a lot of the stories do end up sounding like, well, the movies. Do you think that, with only about 30 seconds here, do you think that there's kind of a cross-pollination between pop culture and this phenomenon, the UFO phenomenon?
I think the answer is yes, Todd. I mean, some Gallup polls have indicated that almost half of Americans believe that UFOs are not the product of human imagination, but are real. We've all been shaped a little bit by Spielberg and others who have made extraordinary films. And I think that this kind of scientized myth, a little bit of myth and a little bit of technology, has captivated many people and shaped their experiences.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the typical contact experience, the typical abduction experience, and why these things begin to sound more and more occultish. With Ken Samples, we'll also take your phone calls. Keep listening. What role do the Ten Commandments have in the Christian life? Do the Ten Commandments require perfect obedience from a pure heart? Or is it enough that we simply do the best we can? You'll find answers to these questions and more in a great new book called To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity. If you'd like to receive this great new resource, call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. Or order online. Go to our Issues Etc. website at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House. Call Monday through Friday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for this great new book, To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity, 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
God isn't finished teaching. You won't often find victory and triumph in your life, but you will always find it in Jesus. I'm Pastor Todd Wilkin. Today we continue the question, what is the theology of the cross? There are Christians who are under the mistaken impression that the Christian life should be an uninterrupted series of triumphs or an unbroken string of victories. Well, not only is this foolish notion patently unrealistic, but more than that, it runs counter to everything that Scripture teaches about the nature and the character of the Christian life. Jesus himself clearly says, "In this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus practically guarantees us trouble. And does he say to us, You will gain victory over every weakness. You will overcome every trouble. You will triumph over every adversity. No, he doesn't. Dear Christian, you won't often find victory and triumph in your life, but you will always find it in Jesus. In Jesus, in his death and resurrection, we who are seldom victorious and seldom triumphant have the victory and triumph of sins forgiven. Issues Etc. is looking for one member from each Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to become our official lay representative. Responsibilities simply involve promotion of Issues Etc. in your local church. Now, if you're interested, leave your name, phone number, and mailing address, and your congregation's name, city and state, on our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org.
What is the primary message and major theme of God's Word? The answer comes from Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
The storyline of the Bible from beginning to end is the story of God's plan of salvation. The message of that which the holiness and righteousness of the just God demands, and the way that God has in his grace, in his undeserved love, met the demands of that law in the person of his Son. Certainly everything else that's in Scripture is important, but everything else ties into and relates to and must be seen from the perspective of that basic primary theme, law and gospel, with the gospel as the fundamental focus of it all.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our guest, Ken Samples, we're talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Next week on the program, we're going to have a roundtable discussion with several pro-life leaders on the 30-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade. It is a sad anniversary, but we need to reflect at this time on what has happened since and why it happened in the first place. What has been the cultural impact of 30 years of legalized abortion in America? How did the U.S. Supreme Court justify its decision back in 1973? What abortion procedures, precisely what abortion procedures, were made legal, and how much has changed since? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with several guests. Now, if you have a question or a comment on the 30-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade, you can post it this week, and we'll try and have our guests answer your question or your comment next Sunday during the program. All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and you'll find a link to our Issues Etc. forum. The website address again, issuesetc.org. And if you've got a question or a comment on UFOs and extraterrestrials, you can call now, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from internet callers, you often have to log off your connection in order to give us a call. If that's the case for you, we will let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment. 1-800-730-2727. We have that in-studio email address as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Carl is calling from Wayne, Pennsylvania. Carl, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hello, Carl.
How are you?
Very well. What's your question or comment?
I don't know how to approach this. I mean, you seem to have a lot of fruit cup on your credentials, but the only thing I could say is that I've used to study making experimentations in science class and in physics class, and they thought that Edison was a nut, and they thought Einstein had theories that he flunked math, and about Copernicus and Galileo, and that was back in the centuries past, in this beginning of this century, and I am a Christian, and the only thing I want to say, really, there's a book, it's called Silent Invasion by Ellen Crystal, Ph.D. Have you ever read that?
I have not read it. What's your question then, Carl?
Well, the question is, you have to take the scientific method. You make observations, and you, or you just go in with a, let's say, open mind, and you have to make observations, take measurements, take data, photographs. And from what these books, there's another book called The Chosen Ones by The Intruders at Copley Woods by Bud Hopkins. And these seem to, and it talks about it, they're not people that are, they're nuts. They make scientific investigations, and sometimes their cameras didn't work about the spacecraft, that they were triangular in shape.
Okay, I think we get the picture here, Carl. Ken, first question, have you read either of the books he makes reference to, either The Chosen Ones or The Silent Invasion?
Yeah, in fact, we respond to at least one of those in the book. I'm familiar with Hopkins and a number of people, and so we respond to them. Let me offer this for Carl. Carl, I work on a regular basis with three scientists. One is a biochemist, two are astrophysicists. In fact, one was a professor at Caltech, the other was graduated from Caltech and worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. The reality is that most of the people who are skeptical about actual metallic crafts visiting the Earth from interstellar space are scientists themselves. There are serious problems, I would say insurmountable problems, with the idea of advanced life traveling from some other galaxy here to the Earth. We can't travel at anything close to the speed of light. It would take literally thousands of years to get here. There are problems with multi-generational travel. And further than that, the claims that are made by UFOs, this is not just one step up in technology. It's certainly true that, you know, we didn't achieve aviation until the 20th century, but we realized that flight was possible. There were birds flying in the air. It took time for humans to recognize how that might happen. But really, that's not a fair analogy, Carl. If you're going to have space aliens in metallic crafts traversing millions of light years, we're talking about a technology that violates everything Albert Einstein and general relativity presented. We're actually talking about something that would transcend not technology, but something that would transcend the very laws of physics themselves.
One of the things that concerns me, he mentions the scientific method and the open mind. I'm all for the open mind, for heaven's sakes, not so open that things would fall out, but the scientific method, it is based upon empirical evidence. And the rules of evidence, I think, need to be held pretty fastly here, and that is, I've seen photographs, but photographs can be doctored, of course. Physical evidence beyond just anecdotal accounts. That's one of the things that I think a lot of skeptics are calling for. Show me some physical evidence beyond something that can't be explained by some other means and some other really reasonable and, you know, using Occam's razor, far more reasonable means. Is there evidence that's out there someplace that no one's looking at, Ken?
Well, you set it up very nicely, Todd. I mean, if this is a physical phenomenon, if we are dealing with some kind of physical beings who are traveling in metallic craft, then in order to verify some type of physical reality, we need physical evidence. And I think it's fair to say, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not putting on an excessive skepticism. I teach logic, and I look very carefully at areas of evidence. Todd, I think it's very true to say that there is no undisputed physical evidence to support UFOs. There are so-called photographs. There are so-called pictures and things, but nobody has ever left an artifact. Nobody has ever examined something that illustrates that it could not be explained by less or by more ordinary means. And so one of the reasons why many people reject the extraterrestrial hypothesis is that there is no solid evidence to support it.
Let's go back to the phones. Robert, very patiently waiting in Oklahoma City. Robert, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. I was wondering if you were acquainted with the cattle mutilations in Colorado during the mid-70s, and if not, I could brief you in a little.
I think Ken probably knows enough to fill the rest of us in. Did you have a question on that subject, Robert?
Well, I was wondering what he thought about it, since there was no evidence left of all those hundreds of cattle.
All right. Thank you very much, Robert. It's a good question. Cattle mutilations, and I also wanted to ask you, now that we're on that subject, about crop circles.
Right. Well, there have been numerous places in the country where cattle have literally been killed, sometimes mutilated, burned, and have left very unusual conditions in terms of how this can be best explained. And there are questions about some of the remains that have been left over. I would simply say this, simply because we don't know exactly how some of these things have taken place, whether it was, some type of human, whether this happened at the hands of humans or whether this was some type of natural experience, I don't think that we should assume that this supports some kind of extraterrestrial reality coming down to Earth and taking the organs of a cow. I don't mean to be sarcastic or humorous, but why would these beings travel hundreds of light years with an enormous economic and financial investment, multi-generational travel, so they can make funny little circles in our crops and mutilate cows? Again, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm asking a very serious question, and it doesn't seem to me that the extraterrestrial hypothesis makes a lot of logical sense on a variety of levels. So I don't view cattle mutilations or even crop circles as being evidence of UFOs, but we can talk further about it if you'd like.
We might do that after this break. Let's get Jeremy in before this break. He's calling from St. Paul, Minnesota. Jeremy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi there. Thank you. I have just basically three opinions and maybe a question. First of all, you can explain aliens away and still maintain the integrity of the Bible. My opinion is that Jesus came for us as fallen man, but there may be other civilizations out there that have not fallen. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and make your other points because we're coming up here on a break.
Okay.
You've only got about 30 seconds here.
Okay, my other point is something is happening in the sky. I personally believe that it's demonic influences and, being a worldly of nature, we don't, as human races, see that. So we're expecting extraterrestrials. And the last one is, when the rapture happens, and I believe it's coming up pretty soon here, somebody has to explain why millions of people across the planet disappeared. So why not, say, alien abductions?
All right. Thank you very much, Jeremy. We'll get to that after this break. He's got a couple points to make. Folks, when we compare the truths of Scripture with the UFO hypothesis, we don't simply start by saying, okay, all the truths of Scripture stand on an equal footing. They are all equally true, and they are all the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. But there are the truths of Scripture, and then there is the one central truth from which all the truths of Scripture gain their vitality and their veracity. And that central truth is the incarnation of Jesus Christ in human flesh for the purpose of sacrificing His life for fallen mankind. The caller raises the question, was that fall universal? Or did it only happen here on this planet, therefore Jesus was only needed here for this planet? Or, when Adam fell, did he plunge all of creation, the whole universe, under the curse of sin? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Apostles' Creed is a confession of faith almost as old as the Christian Church itself. What does this ancient creed have to say to Christians today? And does the Church still need creeds? For answers to these questions, I recommend a new book called To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity. Here's how you order this great new resource. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and under the What's New section, you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House. Or call 1-800-325-3040 and ask to receive the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity, 1-800-325-3040, during regular business hours. Or go to our website, issuesetc.org, click What's New, and there you'll find information on how to order To All Eternity. If you would like to purchase a cassette copy of our two-hour broadcast on UFOs and extraterrestrials for a cost of $10, or if you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues Etc. journal, a new one is coming out as we speak, or if you'd like to make a donation to Issues Etc., you can call our automated resource line. Here's the number, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us here at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Ken Samples is our guest. We're talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Ken, Jeremy called before the break. He had a couple points to make. His first point was that we can find explanations for UFOs and extraterrestrials without violating the integrity of Scripture. He says perhaps other civilizations weren't affected by the fall into sin. What do you make of that? What does Scripture say?
Well, he raises, an interesting point about the possibility of there being sentient beings who don't sin. That is a point of speculation and question. Of course, what we know from Scripture is that God made human beings here on planet Earth, and he did give them freedom, and they did sin. And that sin not only affected their relationship with God and with each other, but it also affected the world, it affected the earth. And I think even a case could be made from Scripture that curse and the fall have affected the entire creation of God.
2 Corinthians 5, I'm thinking, where Paul says, all creation, and that is, he uses the word there, ktisis, it's everything that God has made.
Right.
The whole universe is groaning under subjection to the fall until the revelation of the sons of light, being those who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and Christ's return. Sounds like the whole universe to me.
Right, and I think that in that context, as we think about Christian theology, the purpose of creation is closely tied to the purpose of redemption, and I don't think that it's going to be easy, or in my view, even possible, to isolate God creating in some part of the universe a group of people, and then having that have no association with the fall of humanity on Earth.
It's hard for me to conceive of any civilization apart from the human race that doesn't need Jesus.
Right. Absolutely. And in fact, Todd, I think you could even raise a theological and philosophical question about whether human beings could even be discussed who are not in need of the redemption of Christ, from Christ being crucified from the foundations of the world. So that idea of having extraterrestrial intelligence that would not violate biblical principles, that's a whole lot easier said than done, and I think it contains a lot of philosophical and theological problems.
The second two questions that the caller made before the break kind of went hand in hand. One, he made the point that something is happening in the skies. He believed it to be demonic. And then his third point, that in, and he talked about a coming secret rapture, a position I don't buy into, but we don't have time to go into that. When the rapture occurs, he says, it will be a plausible explanation by those left behind that it was simply alien abduction. What do you make of those two?
Well, I certainly think that there is a feature of residual UFOs that really does connect with the demonic, and that is it is very deceptive. Virtually every UFO experience contradicts or violates the previous one. One of the difficulties that I had in writing the book, I was trying to set down kind of logical categories to think about it. It's difficult to think logically about UFOs because they're constantly confused, and there's a lot of deception involved in the phenomenon as a whole. So I certainly think that this could conceivably be part of a broader demonic deception of human beings. I don't hold a secret rapture, and therefore, as an amillennialist, I don't see this as being a viable biblical viewpoint, and so I'm not. I don't tend to think about how we might explain it after it's happened.
Now, I want to get into a few loose ends here that we haven't had a chance to get into too much. Without going into too much detail, you mentioned the inconsistency of the accounts of abduction. Some of them are blissful experiences, people recount, being taken to a ship, flown around the universe, shown alternate civilizations, returned home, happy and safe in their beds. Some are horrific experiences,
right,
if you've read any of them. What do you make of this?
Well, I think it is fair to say that there is some diversity in terms of experience. Though I would typically say that abduction experiences often involve some very difficult experiences for people. Some are horrific, some are hellish, but often they involve some kind of psychological problems that lead people to go to a hypnotist who can try to help them recover their so-called hidden memories. There are people who claim that the alleged aliens are benevolent. Other times, however, they're malevolent. I think, though, that a careful look at this phenomenon indicates that to the vast majority of people who have abduction experiences or even contactee experiences, they're hurt, not helped by the phenomenon.
And then what seems to be, without being too crass, the convenient marriage between conspiracy theories, especially regarding the U.S. government and their cover-up of UFOs, and the UFO hypothesis. The two seem made for each other.
Well, you've put it very nicely. I think that is certainly true, and I think we need a lot of critical thinking. You know, I think it's good that Christians have a good common sense skepticism. I'm not talking about philosophical skepticism or a form of unbelief. I'm talking about a good hard-headed discernment, developing our intellectual virtues of testing and discerning and being slow and deliberate in coming to believe things. All of those things are taught in Scripture. And I think we live in a time where people are very skeptical and disenchanted with the government, whether it be Vietnam, whether it be events of you know, our political leaders have let us down, but people are very skeptical of the government, and they're looking for alternative views of explaining their life in the world. And frankly, there's just too much conspiracy theory. There are conspiracies. There was a conspiracy to kill Abraham Lincoln. There was a conspiracy on the part of Hitler and others to take over various lands. I'm not saying conspiracies don't happen, but it seems to me we need to look at them very carefully and very critically. And there is just too much gullibility when it comes to UFO belief.
Ken Samples, thank you so much for being our guest.
It's been my pleasure. Nice to be with you, Todd.
Ken Samples is Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's founder and president of the Augustine Fellowship Study Center, co-author of the new book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. You know, we can argue about whether or not life on Earth, sentient, morally accountable life, human life on Earth, is the only life there is in the universe. God may well have populated the entire universe with planets like the Garden of Eden, cats and dogs and bees and birds. But when you get to the crown of creation, putting human or human-like creatures on those other planets, you have to answer the question of the fall into sin and whether or not Adam did indeed place the entire universe under the curse of sin with only one divine solution, that is Jesus Christ taking on human flesh and coming to this planet and carrying out his act of sacrifice, his perfect obedience, his death and his resurrection here in time. The question isn't whether or not human beings are the center of the universe, or whether the planet Earth is the center of the universe. The question is whether or not Jesus is the center of the universe. Scripture very clearly teaches he is, for a very good reason. He has redeemed not only mankind in his fall, but he has redeemed the fallen universe as well. When he hung dying on the cross, he was doing it to remove the curse of sin that Adam, through his disobedience, had placed not only on this world and its inhabitants, but on everything God had created. And when he rose from the dead, he began the removal of that curse and accomplished it once and for all. Is the cross the center of the universe? Is the crucified and risen Christ the center of the universe? Does that allow for aliens? I think not, because Christ is the center. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172.